Amen. Thank you, choir and worship team today. Thank you so much. Well, it's good to see y'all this morning. Are y'all awake for me? Halfway. All right. I'll take what I can get at 8:30 in the morning. It's great to see you this morning. As we get ready to dive into Matthew chapter 28 this morning, in just a moment or two, I do want to just make a couple of critical, crucial announcements. I know Pastor Glad has the announcements at the end today, but as we're preparing to dive in our time of worship in the Word today, I do want to mention, as we announced on Wednesday night, we are planning, Lord willing, a reboot on Sunday morning, January the 3rd, with 8:45 community groups for all ages, and then 10 o'clock worship gathering like we had before the COVID pandemic. And this is kind of our plan right now, is to, after the holidays on January 3, to jump on it, Lord willing. So please be in prayer for those plans as we continue to get community group teachers committed to leading their groups. We need to know which ones will and which ones are not ready at this time. And if they're not, we understand that. We just need to be able to announce where people can go at 8:45. But the children's ministry will be covered. The youth ministry will be covered. The college ministry is covered. They're meeting right now. And so, but some of the adult groups will have to just discern and see if they'll be starting up on that day or not. But we can get you in one if you want to come, whether your regular one is started up or not. But that'll be January 3. Please pray about that. 8:45 community groups, 10 o'clock worship gathering on that day. Also, on December 16th, we will have a very brief members meeting to recommend Joshua Wilson, one of our members who's serving the Coast Guard right now. He's on a year tour in Cuba, but Josh Wilson is felt the call of God, amen, to go to become a chaplain, and he will be entering New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary next fall. And so he needs his home church recommendation, and so we are honored to be able to affirm him and get that form into the seminary that's due in early January on Wednesday night, December the 16th. And also, we will be approving our 2021 budget for the upcoming year, which is exactly the same budget that we had in 2020. Brother Braxton explained that at the last members meeting that we had just a few weeks ago. And so those are two big things, but they're quick things. And then we have our Crawford Faith Family Christmas, where we will be singing different Christmas carols. I told Brother Dalton, if there's someone that wants to sing a Christmas special or a duet or trio that wants to sing that night, they can do that. I will be sharing the Christmas story as we always do. I cannot have the children on the platform this year like I love to do. And you may think, well, in all that craziness, you actually love that. I actually do. We had no one get hurt in the last 12 years, and so I call that a win. But it's just wonderful having children around you, crawling on you, all those. It's just good. And this year, though, because of COVID, we won't do that, but we will share the Christmas story to keep things right in the heart of what Christmas is all about, the center of what Christmas is all about. So that's coming up on December 16th. Now, next Sunday, our worship choir will be singing some special Christmas songs at the 8:30 and 10:30 worship service, and so we're looking forward to that as well. And so that's kind of the month and just a blur, and also what we hope to be able to see begin happening again on January the 3rd. I should mention, we are going to have an overflow room when we do go back to one service. And this way, people can sit in the gym. Once we fill up the rows that will be accessible, we're going to be live streaming. In fact, this morning at 10:30, we're live streaming on Facebook this morning around the world. All right, on Facebook Live at 10:30, the service this morning. But we'll also, on January 3, begin to broadcast live in the CLC, the gym. And that way we'll have spaced out seating there when we begin to fill up the area that's here in this auditorium. All right, so some good things we pray coming. Please be in prayer for those things if you would. This morning, we're going to conclude our mini-series on essential Christianity, the 5G life. And as you came in or were seated already, someone handsome, I'm sure, handed you a 5G commitment sheet. If you need a 5G commitment sheet, we'd like to get one of those in your hands. It is very important as we come to the end of the message today and the end of the series for you to consider, okay, what's my next step? What am I going to do? Am I going to start God time? Am I going to have 20 minutes a day with God, fellowship with God daily? Am I going to do that? I'm going to start with 5 minutes, but this will help you. This little sheet is for you to keep. Between you and the Lord, and we want you to seriously think about the elements of the 5G life as we finish up our series today. When we began the series, we mentioned you could describe the Christian life in three key words. Key word number one is the word abide. To abide is to have intimate fellowship with God. That is to abide. Our second key word was connect. We're to have intimate fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We see this played out primarily in our community groups, a young adult Bible study. When you get a group of people together and you are praying and you're studying the Word of God and you are holding one another accountable for things, that's connecting. Amen? That's when brothers and sisters connect. So we have abide, we have connect, and then share. Those who are saved, how can we, with such good news, which this desperate world needs to hear, how can we who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit as Christians not share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people? So we have these three key words to describe the Christian life: abide, connect, and share. And then, well, how do we practically abide, connect, and share? That's where the 5G's come in. The 5G life comes in here with God time. That's time that you spend in fellowship with God daily. Gather time, the time that you spend with your local church worshiping God. We have prayer. We have scripture. We have Christ-honoring singing and musical worship. We have Christ-honoring preaching from the Word of God. We have response to the Word of God. Amen. In fact, today, if you need to respond to the grace of God, I'm going to be down here. Some of the other pastors will be here at the end of the worship service like we used to do. And we encourage you, if you need prayer, if you are looking for a church home, if you have trusted Christ recently, if you are recommitting your life to Christ, if you just need a brother to pray for you, maybe you sense God calling you into ministry, then come pray with one of us. You've heard Pastor Jared's a snippet of his testimony. Come and let him pray with you at the end of the gathering today. But this is God time, time that you spend alone in fellowship with God daily. Gather time, when we gather in our worship context with the local church. Then we have group time, which we already have some groups meeting right now. There's some meeting now. There are some that meet at 10:30 today. But on January 3rd, Lord willing, we're going to move back to 8:45 for all the community groups. And then at 10 o'clock, the worship gathering in the morning. Amen. And but that group time is where you get together with other brothers and sisters and exhort and encourage and grow deep in the things of God and pray for one another's needs specifically in that group time. Then we have give time. That's where you serve in your local church. God doesn't call anyone to come sit soaking sour in a chair. He calls us to be faithful to serve. Pastor Jared preached a phenomenal message on serving last week on give time. And if you've missed it, I'd encourage you to go back to YouTube or CrawfordBaptist.net and pull it up and watch it and listen and learn. It was a powerful message. And then that leaves the fifth G today, the fifth G, go time, the time that we go outside of our normal area of operations. Typically, we would say for like 6 to 7 days when we would actually go on a missions trip type thing. To Las Vegas, to Atlanta, to New Orleans, to Northern Alabama, construction mission trip. Those types of things come under go time for sure. And there are other opportunities that we'll mention in the midst of the message today. And so this is kind of where we have been. abide, connect, and share. And then stemming out of that, those three key elements, we have the 5G life. God time, gather time, group time, give time, and now go time. And so this morning, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you'll be looking with me in Matthew chapter 28, I want to read verses 16 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20 this morning. And we have these words written to us by Matthew, verse 18. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. Let me pray for us, if I may, this morning. And our Father in heaven, we do bow in your holy presence. We thank you for the gift of music. We thank you for the joy with which we can gather and sing and praise you and worship you. It is a natural response for those who have been enslaved by sin, those who have been set free by our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a natural thing for us as believers to praise you and to worship you and to sing your praises. And so thank you for this awesome time this morning of worship through music. And Father, as we come now to your holy, inspired, infallible, and inerrant word, I pray, O God, for power. I pray the Holy Spirit will open our eyes and enable us to see spiritual realities in our own lives and in the lives of those in our circles of influence, that we might be able to share the gospel with people during this Christmas holiday season. But first, O God, do a work. Holy Spirit, do a work in me. Do a work in us, your people. Oh, do a work, God, today. May we not be the same men, women, and young people as we leave that we were when we came in to experience you through worship. Please be glorified among us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. You know, in these verses, we see that Jesus has been crucified, buried to borrow a tomb, resurrected, and now he's about to ascend back to the Father in heaven. And he gives us, and we all know what this is. This is called the Great Commission. Now, for many Baptists, it's the Great Omission, because we just don't do this. But this is called the Great Commission. Jesus emphasizes the mission. We're to go make disciples, and as you are going, make disciples. Making disciples is important to Jesus, and it ought to be important to his church. Amen. Making disciples ought to be important to us. Listen, brothers and sisters, go time is not an option. It's not, I have the right job, I have the right money, I've got in my bank account, I can, you know, afford to go and even have my family go to Las Vegas, to Atlanta, to Tanzania, to wherever, you know, we have a trip. We've looked at some trips even to Paris this upcoming year, possibly. That may not happen with COVID restrictions in Europe right now. But we have partners in Paris, France, the city of lights. And you're thinking, you know, well, I have the ability for me to go do that. And then there are others are thinking, man, where I work, I don't have the ability to do that. But listen, go time is not an option. And you don't have to go to Paris. And you don't have to go to Tanzania. You don't have to go to India to be involved in go time. You can go across the street to your neighbors. That can be go time. In fact, if we're not doing that, we probably wouldn't do much in Paris or Tanzania or India or anywhere else either. We need to be faithfully, regularly seeking to share the gospel with people. Now, there are three key points I want to share this morning with us as a faith family from these verses. Number one is this. We go time is not an option, but here's number one. We are to go out of obedience. We are to go out of obedience. Look in verse 18. By the way, our memory verses for this week. Pastor Jared had a briefer one last week. I had a briefer one the week before in Acts 2:42. I could not pick 19 and 20 and leave out 18, because 19 and 20 are built on the foundation of 18. And I think we can handle Matthew 28 verses 18 through 20. They roll together, they flow together, and they are an essential unit. All right, but look in verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth, notice this, has been given to me. And because of that truth, and we'll come back to it, he says, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. See how it just rolls together? And we'll start memorizing that this week, getting it in our minds and hearts, and it'll be a blessing to us as a faith family for sure. But I want you to notice there, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, all different kinds of peoples. Listen, Jesus commands his disciples to go and make disciples as we go to work, as we go to school, as we go to the gym, as we go to the doctor, as we go to Walmart, as we go to the mall, as you go to your neighbor's house, as we go to the nations, we are to, our goal, our intentional goal should be to make disciples of people who are not right now followers of Jesus Christ. We are to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, and to be able to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, we have to know it. We have to know that. And so we are servants of this message, and we are witnesses to this message. We are sent with a message. There's no message on this earth more powerful than the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us in and through Jesus Christ. I want you to hold your place where you are, and I'd love for you to flip over to Acts for just a moment. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 18. Acts chapter 26, verses 16 through 18. I want you to see, this is part of Paul's testimony. And we see the power of the gospel here. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. Notice what is happening here, right? Paul heard the voice. He's still called Saul at this time. Saul had fallen to the ground. He was blinded. He heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, a lot of theology in that statement. We'll have to come back another time. But verse 16. Acts 26, verse 16. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people, that would be the Jews, and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you. Now notice verse 18 very carefully. What's Jesus going to send Saul, who became known as Paul, to do? Verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." This is what Jesus commissioned Paul to do in Acts 26:16-18. Listen, there is no message on this earth more transformational and eternal than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has commissioned us, you and me, His church, to go and make disciples. Now, if you want to lay that down and then go back just a book to the left, go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, I'd like for you to see this. John chapter 14 and verse 12. John chapter 14 and verse 12. Here we see Jesus say this, John 14:12. "Truly, truly, amen, amen," in the Greek. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me," are you believing in Jesus this morning? Just answer for yourself. Are you believing in Jesus? Are you trusting in Jesus? Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." So we're called as Christians then to engage in the very works that Jesus Christ Himself performed while He was on the earth in His incarnation. But notice this. "And greater works than these will He do, because I'm going to the Father." Now, what's He talking about here? He's talking about His disciples, and the one who believes in Him will engage in what He has been engaging in, but that disciple will then do even greater works than He was doing when He was on the earth in the flesh. This is John chapter 14, verse 12. We will do greater works than Jesus, not in terms of power, not in terms of greater miracles, but we will do greater works because every Christian is now indwelt by the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, and He is residing, indwelling within us. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel to the nations. And remember, the nation starts with your own family and extends to the ends of the earth. Think about Acts 2 and Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people were saved. That never happened when Jesus was in the flesh preaching on the earth. 3,000 people converted in one day. We have no record in Scripture of that. But we can see the greater works than Jesus did in terms of breadth and magnitude. All right, we'll not do a greater work, but we will see the extension of what Jesus did. When Jesus was on this earth in the incarnation, he was, if you will, confined to a specific region of this world, and He never traveled to Rome. Did go into Egypt for a while, right, as a baby, and then He came up out of Egypt, but He was in a very specific geographical location. And what He is saying in John 14:12 is we can see greater works than He did in terms of breadth and magnitude. And think about it. Here, 2,000 years later, here we are in L.A., Lower Alabama. Amen. In the United States of America. His disciples, hearing Him speak these words in John 14, could never have imagined the impact that their faithfulness for the gospel would have in the world today. But you see, we are called, we are sent with the gospel. But there are some who kind of resent that today, if you can believe it or not. There are. There are people who would say, wait, no, you professionals, you guys, the pastors, the church planters, the missionaries, the professionalization of the ministries is called. Hey, you guys are the ones to go and preach the gospel. That means very few people overall get to go with the gospel. Some people would argue that what we read in Acts 26, that's God's call upon Paul. in Matthew 28 that we read also earlier here in Matthew chapter 28 in verses 19 and 20. That's the call of the immediate disciples of Jesus there that were with him right before the ascension. He is sending them, commissioning them to go with the gospel. But we have to understand that you and I are also sent. In John chapter 17, if you're with me in John 14, 12, you can flip a page and you'll be there. In John 17, in verse 18, Jesus says, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." And again, he's speaking here to that group of disciples that he had before his crucifixion, but he is sending them into the world. In John chapter 20, and verse 21, notice what happens here. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." You say, "Well, yes, but it looks like there he's sending those disciples with him in the upper room." That's what he's saying in John 17, 18. Those who heard the high priestly prayer as he was praying to his Father before he goes to be betrayed and scourged and crucified and all of those things, buried in the borrowed tomb. And in John 20, 21, he's saying this to his disciples after the resurrection, "I'm going to send you." All right? Well, go back to Matthew 28, our main text. Matthew 28, and I want to show you this last little part of verse 20. "And behold, I am with you always," what's that next part? "To the end of the apostolic age." And we're not supposed to add to or take away, amen? Jesus simply says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, that age that had begun then has not ended yet. It will end when Jesus comes again. And so I want you to see that's significant in my theology. I am with you always to the end of the age. You see, Jesus is giving this commission, the Great Commission, to all of us to proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And may God help you and may God help me do that. But why don't more believers go with the gospel? Why don't they? Why don't we see even Southern Baptist churches being evangelistic hubs for the kingdom of God? Why is it that we just kind of hold on and hunker down and are hoping for better times? Why is it that we fail to do what in the syllabus the Lord Jesus, the master teacher, rabbi, has commanded us to do? If you're going to pass the class, using this imagery, this is what you have to do. Make disciples. I didn't tell you got to pass quizzes. I didn't tell you got to, you know, have handwritten, you know, take-home exams. I'm saying make disciples. That's what we're commanded to do. Why don't more believers go with the gospel? There are four quick reasons. Number one, ignorance. They've never been taught properly. You can't say that. All right? But some do say ignorance. "I thought the preacher's supposed to do that. I mean, he's paid to be good, and we good for nothing." That's the old understanding. It's just an ignorance that, no, you know, I go to church, I do my thing, I preach the gospel through my life. No, you don't. The gospel is a message, and the message must be proclaimed. The news anchors do not just sit there during the 30-minute broadcast and let you observe there. They tell you the news. And the gospel is news which must be proclaimed. Yes, now, you can deny the gospel by the way you are living or not living. But we must understand, we must, as Adrian Rogers used to say, no one is saved by your life. They're saved by his death on the cross. And so we must proclaim the gospel. So don't plead ignorance here at Crawford Baptist Church. Number two, insecurity, where we're fearful of man. We're fearful of offending people or upsetting people, or this could end our friendship if I actually tell them about Jesus. So because of our fear of losing our friendship, we're just going to let them live their life, die, and go to hell. What kind of neighbor are we really if we do that? Number three, indifference. A lack of love for God and a lack of love for those that God has put in our lives. You know, I just don't care. I'm unconcerned. I'm apathetic. You know, I'm just indifferent to the whole thing. A fourth reason why many believers do not go and proclaim the gospel, inconvenience. Man, do you know what all I got to do? I have a lot of stuff to get done. I don't have time for that. I mean, I've got school, and I've got my part-time job, and I've got baseball, and I'm taking the kids to you know, dance practice and recitals and all. Listen, all of those things you just mentioned are opportunities to proclaim the gospel to people that you're in connection with. If we keep our eyes focused on what Christ is telling us to keep our eyes focused on. I mean, notice, there are no exemption clauses in the Great Commission. Amen. There are no exemption clauses in the Great Commission. You know, I don't know enough. That doesn't fly with Jesus, just so we know. I don't know the gospel. We're going to put it on the screen again. Every week we put the definition of the gospel on the screen. We should be repeating it to ourselves daily through the week just to reinforce it in our own minds and hearts. But hey, you cannot be a member of Crawford Baptist Church and plead ignorance to knowing what the gospel is. We cannot. There's one cure for the problems of sin in this world. One cure for the pandemic of sin, for the COVID of sin, for the cancer of sin, for the aneurysm of sin. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I just don't know enough. I don't have the time. Listen, we are to make time to proclaim the gospel. Why are we as Southern Baptists struggling in evangelism? It's because we're disobedient to the commands of Jesus. My prayer for us is that go time would become a part of our lifestyle that we live, that we will live daily on mission for Christ, looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Listen, you cannot follow Jesus standing still, because he's moving. You cannot follow Jesus standing still. He is on the move. And the ultimate fuel of go time is a love for God and a love for the people that he has put in your circles of influence. Charles Spurgeon said this famous quote. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. What a challenging word in this sermon to his congregation there in Metropolitan Tabernacle. My first thought on reading that quote is, Father, forgive us. Forgive us. We sit so smugly in our seats, proud of the theology that we do know. And we are unmoved to tears and brokenness and conviction about those who are lost, who are sinners, who will spend an eternity in hell, separated from the love and grace of God, but an eternity of the wrath and judgment of God. See, they don't escape God in hell. They just don't get grace and mercy in hell. That was my first thought, is Father, forgive us. My second thought was, Father, help us to have such a love for you and for those with whom we live and play and work and go to school and do all of these things. May our love for you be a compelling force within us to get us to care. My third thought was, Father, would you give us the power of the Holy Spirit to do so? Because it ain't happening apart from Him. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to so move upon me and upon you. The pastors of this church need awakening. The deacons of this church need awakening. The members of this church need awakening. We need brokenness. We need concern. We need conviction of our sin in committing the sin of silence. We need to step up and step out on faith and stop sitting on the premises and start standing on the promises. I am pleading for an awakening today from God to pour out the Holy Spirit upon all of us today to transform us. You see, if your theology is wrong, you can get easily frustrated and discouraged. But if your theology is right, you will have the Holy Spirit determination to keep on keeping on. Brothers and sisters, in go time, we are to go out of obedience because He has commanded us to go. Number two, we're to go in His authority. We're to go in His authority. Verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. We go out of obedience. We're commanded to go. But we go, number two, we are to go in His authority, in His name. You see, Jesus Christ has all authority, the right to use sovereign power as He sees fit. I'll just do a rundown on this. This is supposed to encourage you. Don't try to write these down. You can't keep up. But just soak it in. The authority of Jesus was the authority to forgive sins, Mark chapter 2. Amen. We could all say amen to that. I mean, we all got sins. He has the authority to forgive sins. Number two, Jesus taught with astounding authority. Astonishing authority. Mark chapter 1, 22. He has the authority to rebuke the devil. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. He has the authority over unclean spirits. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. He has authority over the forces of nature. He healed diseases, Matthew 4, 23. He turned water into wine, John chapter 2, verse 9. He calmed ferocious storms, Mark chapter 4, verse 39. He has authority over life and death. He's raising people from the dead, John chapter 11, 43 to 44. He ruled over His own death and resurrection, John chapter 10 and verse 18. He has full authority over the final judgment, John 5, 27. He has authority over all flesh to grant eternal life, John chapter 17, verse 2. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Matthew 28, 18. Bam! That's it. Bam! He has all authority. This Jesus then gives us the Great Commission. Jesus didn't say, good luck, happy fishing, hope it works out well for you. No. Jesus commissions us. That's important too, commissions. We're not doing it by ourselves. That's my third point coming up in just a minute, all right? But Jesus commissions us to go. Everyone and everything is subordinate to Jesus. When Jesus decides to do something, nothing can stop Him. Jesus is on the move. In the first great awakening, back in the 1700s in our nation, the first great awakening, 50,000 people were saved out of a population of 340,000 people that lived in New England in our nation. That's 15% of the population were saved during the first great awakening. Many of them, by the way, were church attenders. They just weren't Christians. They weren't saved. The second great awakening was in the 1800s. The Methodist denomination grew by 1400% during this time, while the American population was growing by 200%. In three counties in Virginia, over a three-month span of time, 3,200 people were converted. That's during the second great awakening in the United States of America. The prayer revival of 1857-58, 50,000 people were coming to Christ weekly. The Holy Trinity Church in Chicago had 157 members in 1857 before the revival and 1,400 members in 1858. In New York City alone, at the height of the movement, 10,000 people were coming to Christ every week. In New York City, 10,000 people were coming to Christ every week. Out of a population of 30 million Americans, 1 million of them came to faith in Jesus Christ in 1857 and 1858. And that was right before what event took place? The Civil War. But God moved in the first great awakening. Jesus is on the move. Jesus moved in the second great awakening. Jesus moved through what's called the prayer revival of 1857-58. There's the Welch revival in the early 1900s. 100,000 people were gloriously converted in 9 months in the country of Wales. Listen, today we have a population, as of yesterday when I checked this, today in America we have a population of 331 million people. If God were to manifest himself as he did during the prayer revival of 1857, 1858, we would see over 10 million people come to saving faith in Jesus Christ in 2 years. This would be 95,000 new believers every week for 24 months. Jesus is on the move. And then when you think outside our shores, there are more Christians in China today than there are members of the Chinese Communist Party. Amen? Amen. Since 1979, there's been intense persecution of Christians in Iran, but they are the most open Muslim people to the gospel. How in the world does that happen? Well, you see, because of the extreme violence of the regime, this has led many Iranians to question their beliefs, and many Iranian Christians are, even in the face of torture, imprisonment, and death, many Iranian Christians are still continuing to boldly tell other Iranians about Jesus Christ, even with the threat of death or imprisonment. There are more Iranians have become Christians in the last 20 years than in the previous 13 centuries put together. In 1979, there were 500 Christians in Iran from a Muslim background. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Christians in Iran. My point is that Jesus has all authority and Jesus is on the move. And listen, beloved brothers and sisters, we are to go out of obedience. But when we go in his authority. Then number three, we're to go with his presence. We're to go with his presence. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And notice this part again. And behold, I am with you on the good days. No. And behold, I'm with you when, man, your blood pressure's down and your bank account's up. No. I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Thank you. We are to go with his presence. Jesus accomplishes the Great Commission through us. Remember, Jesus has chosen to make your life his home. What's he doing in you and through you? Listen, you know, jumping into church late and sliding out early, that ain't what Jesus does. No. We've already seen in this series, Jesus had personal time of fellowship with the Father alone daily. Jesus gathered in the synagogue for corporate worship. Jesus had a small group, a community group, the apostles, the disciples. Jesus is teaching and serving and training his disciples and handing off responsibility to them. He's mentoring those men. And Jesus goes. He goes from Dan to Beersheba, proclaiming the gospel in cities and towns and villages. The 5G life are aspects of Jesus' life when he was in the flesh. But Jesus accomplishes now the Great Commission through us, through you and me. His presence with us means we have his authority, his power, and his peace as we go. So how do I conclude? Brothers and sisters, we are to go to our families, our neighbors, our co-workers, our fellow students, our classmates, our teammates, and to the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ. We should live every day intentionally as a missionary. Spirit of the living God, please ignite within us a passion and love for God that compels us to share the gospel with the lost. So how do we get started? How do we get started? Well, the way you get started first is to be saved. And the Bible teaches that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. Romans 3:10 and 3:11. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. You see, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We are slaves of sin. John chapter 8, verse 34. He who practices sin is the slave of sin. Oh, yes, you have a will, but your will is bound by your sin nature. You see, God is freer than you are. You have freedom to make decisions, and you will be accountable for every decision you make. If you turn down Christ today, you're accountable for that decision. If you walk away from the church, you are responsible and accountable for that decision. If you mistreat your husband or your wife or your children or your parents, you are responsible for that decision. But you see, God is freer than we are. There is truly no autonomy. Autonomy means self, nomos, law. In other words, that word autonomy, when you say autonomy, you're talking about, hey, I make my own law. I'm my own king. I'm my own God. And brothers and sisters, that is not how the Bible depicts us at all. That spiritual darkness. How do I get started in this? Well, we need to understand that the gospel is the good news. That the just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people, and that is everybody. And he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, to bear his wrath against sin on the cross and to show his power over sin by resurrecting Jesus from the grave so that everyone who will turn from their sins, that's what? Repentance. And believe in him, in the Christ, that's faith, will be reconciled to God forever. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So if we're going to proclaim it, we need to know how to state it. We need to have scriptures that we can use which underpin each of those phrases in that statement. How do you get started? It's by repenting and trusting in Christ. Turn to Christ. Beloved, turn to Christ. If you're here listening to me, turn to Christ. Look to Christ. Right? Take up your cross and follow him. Follow Jesus Christ. Do what he says you're to do. You're to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The rule, the reign. There's a people and there's a land within the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Are you a part of that kingdom? Are you simply just a name on the roll of Crawford Baptist Church? Then you're not a part of the kingdom. and it's the part of the kingdom that's ultimate and what counts the most. You get started by trusting Jesus Christ, turning from your sin. And then to help us as disciples of Jesus, we have abide, connect, and share. We have the 5G life. It's an intentional pursuit of God time. And I would say here, 15 to 20 minutes a day is a good goal. You say, oh my word, 20 minutes. Well, start off with five. Start with five. I'm just saying on the screen, a good goal to shoot for would be at least 20 minutes a day. Gather time, 90 minutes weekly. That's more on us if you get here. We plan it to be an hour and a half. Gather time, corporate worship. That's where you are. You check that one off right now. Group time, 7 hours monthly, getting with your group, your community group, meeting, praying, discussing the Word of God, you know, having fellowships outside of that time on campus or in homes. Those are all good things for your group. Give time, finding ways to serve 6 hours monthly. You could be a greeter. You can be a host in your area, just talking to people as people come in and sit down and those kinds of things. Man, we desperately need a first hands team, a first touch team again. We've had them in the past. Pandemic's messed some things up. This and that's gone on. Two services has made it more complicated in some ways. Lord willing, January 3, going back to 8:45 community groups, 10 o'clock worship. But we that's a way you can serve. But you can also serve by calling people from your home during the week, checking on homebound members, dropping by and visiting with them and just seeing how they're doing, taking something they may need, picking up a prescription at Walgreens, taking it to those are all give time, ways you serve the Lord in and through your local church. Those of you who teach, that's give time. Thank you. Thank you. In January, on January 3rd, we shift our community group teachers back from Wednesday night to Sunday mornings. And our our mission friend RA and GA teachers will pick back up in their ministry there on January, 3rd, 4th, 6th? Yes, 6th, that Wednesday, and we'll get that rolling again. We'll also, Children's Choir will be resuming, I believe, January the 6th. Children's Choir, they have a musical plan for late March, so that's going to be good. Children's Choir resume, these other Wednesday night activities will resume. Youth is going strong already. If you don't have a teenager, get them in there. And then you go to the young adult Bible study. It's going strong. It's just going good. But being that's give time. So those of you who serve, through teaching and through phoning and through deaking and through greeting and hosting and all of those things, that's give time. And then go time. We'll be laying out some trips. We want to meet with our missions committee in the near future and try to get a few trips on the calendar if things open up. We won't want to be caught blindsided if things begin to open where we can travel and do things. We want to be able to do that. But also go time can include Mission of Hope, Haven of Hope, these types of ministries, fostering together. Gulf Coast needs volunteers, ladies, especially ladies, volunteers to help sort clothes, wipe off toys that have been donated, those kind of things. Those are ministries that you can go and then serve in that way. So how do I end this message and this series today? This was a very challenging story that I close with today. In the early 1700s, it was actually 1732, when John Leonhard Dober and David Nietzschmann, they heard Count Nicholas Ludwig Zinzendorf speak of an island in the West Indies that had an atheist slave owner with 3,000 slaves on that island in the West Indies, who would never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dober and Nietzschmann were deeply moved and disturbed. That word disturbed in the quote touched me. When have I been disturbed lately? about the loss. These two men in Europe, Moravian brethren, these two men were disturbed upon hearing of 3,000 slaves on the island in the West Indies. And so they covenanted together to sell themselves into slavery to that slave owner and go to the West Indies as a slave themselves in order to be able to have a relationship and share the gospel of Jesus with those 3,000 slaves. Their families tried to convince them not to do that, but they were determined. And Dober and Nietzschmann went down, got on the ship, and they, as the ship sailed, the two men linked their arms, and one of those men shouted, "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." These men sold themselves into slavery to proclaim the gospel. And we have a hard time walking across the street to meet our neighbors, our own family members, children, grandchildren. And we won't go and tell them the good news of Jesus. I'm going to pray for God to disturb us. You see, we all make this mistake of, well, I have plenty of time. There'll be a lot of young people that will die around our world today. No one is promised tomorrow. Today is a day of salvation. Today is the day. And so our musicians are going to come, but let me pray as they prepare to come.